want to preach. I want to preach today, this afternoon on a thought of what to do in uncertain times. And if we're ever living in uncertain times, this is it. To be uncertain means to be doubtful. It means not sure of the consequence, or to be unsettled. And we fit in to all that right there. We're not sure what's going to happen. Everything is unsettled. And we're kind of doubtful of what's going to happen. But let me say this today, that we don't have to be unsettled or doubtful on the Lord Himself. And I'm glad that the Apostle Paul tells us here in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And I begin to read in verse 4. And the Apostle Paul said, great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. So we find right here is the Apostle Paul as he's writing to the church at Corinth, and he's talking about a time starting in verse 5 when he was at Macedonia. Now I don't know if this was the time when he was against Demetrius the silversmith. I don't know if that was the time when, boy, it looked like his life hung in the balance there at a time. But he said there was a time that I was in Macedonia, and he said my flesh had no rest. He said on every front that I looked was troubled. He said fightings were out. He said fears were on the inside. Now today I understand that the Apostle Paul is dealing with this because of the gospel. I understand that. He is and that under persecution for the gospel. Now, let me say that I don't believe we're under persecution for the gospel. We're living in one of the freest nations that there's ever been. And we've been able to carry the gospel and shine the light. And that it seems like for a great long time that we should be letting our light shine. But I want you to look that one of the things that Paul talked about, he said, my flesh had no rest. Every front was troubled. Everywhere I turned, on every side. And he said, I had fightings on the outside, fears on the inside. But he said one thing. He said, God. He said, nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down. And so Paul, when he talks about this time in Macedonia, as a matter of fact, in chapter 1, he begins to talk about a time, I believe it was, when he was in Asia. He said, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. He said, look, he said, we were in such a shape that we thought we might die. We despaired of even our life. And then he said, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver. Can I tell you today that, look, we understand and know this one thing, that when we're dealing with uncertain times, Paul said that without were fightings and within were fears. He talks about being pressed and that out of measure. There was a time in Acts 27 when the Apostle Paul was on the ship and the storm tossed to and fro, and for 14 days they hadn't seen sun and stars. And I mean, they were just in a mess. And listen, today I want to look at three things that we need to do when it comes in uncertain times. First of all, let me say we need to trust the Lord. I believe the Apostle Paul was trusting the Lord. When he talks about being pressed out of measure, and I mean it was just above strength that he said that he had. He said we despaired even of life and had the sentence of death. He said, what did I do? He said, I didn't trust in myself, but I trusted in the Lord. So let me say today, as we trust in the Lord, and trust simply means to have confidence in or resting the mind on. And I don't know if I really believe we would call this an uncertain time that we're living in. And a lot of times I don't preach on situations, but I felt so impressed to do this that, listen, I know that some of y'all might be worried. You might be worried. You might be having anxiety in this situation and wondering what's going to happen and how everything's going to turn out. We may not know what's going to happen. We may not know how things are going to turn out, but we do know who's in charge. We do know who's still seated on the throne. Listen, this ain't took God by surprise, not one little bit, and He's still on the throne in glory and still got it under control. So first of all, we trust in Him by trusting in His Word. Number one, we trust in His Word. We understand and we know that the Word of God is true. Ain't you glad today, friend, that you've got a book? We're King James Bible believers. I'm glad that I've got a book that I can take and I can read and that I can believe and know it to be the truth. I know that in 1 Kings chapter 8, it said, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto the people of Israel, unto His people of Israel, according to all that He promised. There hath not failed one word of all His good promise, which He promised by the hand of Moses, His servant." Listen, do you realize that all the promises that God had made Israel and all the promises that God made Moses and made Joshua and made to the children of Israel? Listen, Moses and Joshua led the children of Israel in a time of uncertainty. Moses led them in a time of not only uncertainty, but when they wouldn't listen to the Word of God. And you see, that's what got them in trouble, is they would not listen. But as they would listen, as they would trust and that in the Word of God, God would lead them along. I love that old song that we sing out of the Redback book sometimes, God leads us along. I love that old song. How's it? In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along. I love that right there, that God leads us along. Ain't that a wonderful thought of what God can do and how He can do it if we would simply just take Him at His word and just trust Him? Listen, God can do whatever He wants to, whether we trust Him or not. But in our life, if we would just simply trust Him and put our faith in Him and what His word has to say, our life would be so much better and so much happier in an uncertain and an uneasy time. 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. A sure word. We've got a sure word right here in front of us. A lot of people wonder what's going on. How can God do this and do that? Listen, we can believe this book, Proverbs 30. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. God will be your shield. You trust His word. You put your faith in what He has to say. We are a people of a book. You say, I'm a people of feelings and of faith. Yes, but friend, it all comes out of this book right here. You wouldn't have known what it meant to get saved had it not been for this book. There was a preacher. There was a Sunday school teacher. There was a mama or a daddy or a grandma or a grandpa, a school teacher. There was a friend somewhere along the line out of this book taught you about the Lord Jesus and told you what He could do. I trust this book. I put my faith in this book and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Psalms 111, the works of His hands are verity and judgment. All His commandments are sure. You can trust His book. He's gave us a book that we're to take and that we're to read, and we can trust it. You know what is so great about being able to trust this book is that if we read it and we know that it's real and we know that it's true, we know that in these uncertain times, then it can bring comfort to us. See, if you didn't believe that it was God's word and that God had spoke to us and gave us this right here, there wouldn't be much comfort in this book. But see, because I know it's true. Not only do I know it's true because it's wrote down and I put it to the test. I know this book is true. I did come and ask Him to save me, and He did save me. I have put my faith in Him. I've made it a lamp unto my feet, the light to my path, and it has guided and made ways when there was no ways. But it's in His word that we find comfort. As Jairus came to the Lord over in Mark chapter 5. In Mark chapter 5, Jairus comes to him, and he's a ruler of the synagogue, and he comes to the Lord, and he says, Lord, he says, my daughter is at the point of death. She's at home and at the point of death. Would you come and heal her? And Jesus just goes with him. And on the way, there's a lady that has an issue of blood. A woman has an issue of blood for had it for 12 years. She couldn't be healed of it. She'd spent all that she had. She was none the better. She'd seen every doctor she could see. And she come and pressed in the crowd and touched his garment and was made whole. And in all that time, as the people were thronging him and touching him, and she was healed, and he took time to talk to her, in that time, those from Jairus' house comes to Jairus and says, "Bother the master no more, for thy daughter is dead." But in Mark chapter 5 and verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." I'm glad that out of God's word, and he takes it and by his sweet Holy Spirit and puts it into our heart, that even when bad news comes, be not afraid, only believe. John 14 and 18, as he's talking to his disciples over there, he said, "I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." Some of y'all right now might need to get your heart right with the Lord, draw close to him, and then take this book and begin to read it. For in it you'll find comfort and joy. For in it you can find peace. And listen, if you're unsaved today, if you've never been saved, then you don't understand what peace is. You don't understand what joy is all about. To know what he done, to understand that he's got it under control, to understand that though that we do walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You don't understand that. You sit there and you wring your hands and wonder what's going to happen. And be honest with you, I'd be wondering too if I was lost. I'd be scared to death of hell right now, friend, if I was lost. But I'm not scared of it. You know why? Because he saved me. And he made me a fit subject for heaven. He will not leave us comfortless, though. He'll give us direction by the word of God, tell us what to do. Psalms 119, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." This book will guide you. If you need guidance and wisdom, you'll find it out of this book. You ask him and he'll help you with guidance and wisdom. Number one, we trust, but we trust in his word. The Lord talking to us and the Lord speaking to us. And he can give comfort, just like some of your parents out there tonight have gave comfort and that to your children simply by just being there, simply by speaking to them and hugging up on them when they're hurting or when they're scared. And listen, that letting them know that you've got them and that they're okay. That's what the Lord does for us. He lets us know he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But number two, not only are we to trust in his word, but we're to trust in the very fact that his eyes are still on us and his ears are still open to us. You know, God has not quit listening to his children. He's not quit watching his children. Psalms chapter 34, the Bible said, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry." You know that the Lord still sees and hears us? That's a wonderful thought to me. Listen, out of all the times that I have ever prayed and the Lord still hears and sees. Listen, I'm glad that he's still seated on the throne in heaven. There's one to the right of him, Jesus Christ the righteous, and that to intercede for us and to take our prayer to him. Listen, today I am so glad that he hears when we pray. I'm so glad that he looks down from heaven and sees the situation that we're in, and he knows what we need. James chapter 5, as he's talking about praying, he says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." You know, there's two things that seems to happen in a time of uncertainty. For some, is they kind of quit the Lord. They quit the Lord and don't want to go on or whatever, and that's a bad thing to do and travel their own way. But listen, in a time of uncertainty, we should draw in that closer and closer unto the Lord. We should not only draw in that closer more, believing him and trusting him and reading after him and learning after him, but to pray to him. Listen, the Bible said right here that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. One man went and prayed, and that because of the judgment to be poured out upon the nation of Israel, because of their wickedness that they were in, one man goes and prays that it might not rain, and God shuts the heavens up. I mean, they become as hard as brass. I mean, everything was reflecting off of them, if you would. The prayers that people were praying, listening, wanting it to rain, no doubt. And God shut the heavens up, and no rain. And even Ahab, King Ahab, when he met with Elijah over there at one point, he said, are you the one that troubleth Israel? I mean, just because he prayed that it might not rain. Listen, it was them that was troubling Israel, and that by their sin that they were committing. But the Bible went on to tell us that Elijah goes back and he gets up there further on top of Mount Carmel from where they had that competition over there, if you would, where he said, how long halt you between two opinions? And where they had that showdown between Baal and God. And God answered by fire and licked up the water, the rocks of sacrifice, and every bit of it. And God showed that he was God. And he goes on a little further on top of Mount Carmel and begins to pray that it might rain. And it begins to rain. And find in Acts chapter 12, Peter is in prison. Peter is in prison, and the early church is making prayer for him all night. It's been earnest time in prayer. What do we need to do? We need to trust in his word, but we need to trust that he sees and hears. Listen, his ears are attentive to us. We look in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, some of my most favorite scripture out of the Old Testament, deals with King Jehoshaphat and the nation of Judah. They've got three companies coming against them. And I mean, they're in a mess. They've already been in one battle and things just kind of got set straight. And let me say this, you set things straight in your life, don't be surprised when the enemy shows up, because he's going to show up. And so the Bible said right here that when he finds out that all these are coming up against him, the Bible said in verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. You know, it would be good if we just got down on our knees and sought God and said, Lord, we need some help with this. This is beyond us. This is beyond our nation. This is beyond our leaders. This is beyond what I'm talking about is this virus that's going on. Listen, it's beyond us. We can't handle it. We don't know how to handle it. But we know that you can. So the Bible said right here that Jehoshaphat gets over there at the house of the Lord. In verse 5, Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of heaven, of the heathen, excuse me. And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as sore judgment or pestilence, well, that's what we're in now, pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and crying to thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. He's going back to the time of the dedicatorial prayer and that King Solomon prayed out there. And those are the exact words he said. If during this time, during all these times, if it's in judgment or sword or pestilence or famine, if we just come down here and pray. Now, we don't have a temple that we go pray to. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit now. And so we look up to heaven and pray and say, Lord, look at the shape. Yeah, I know the shape we're in. But we sure do need some help. But you know what you do in a time like this of uncertain times? You just trust that he's still watching. He's still looking and seeing. and still hearing our prayers. He's still inclining. Do you know that He's still inclining to sinners? He is still listening for sinners to come and beg Him to save them. And not only does He hear and see, but He hears, sees, and helps. Listen, even in this passage of Scripture, He made a way when there was no way. With the Apostle Paul, back in the text verse, we go back to chapter 7. We find that without were fightings, within were fears. But yet the Bible said, nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. He knew, he saw the situation Paul was in. Now the Bible don't tell us that Paul prayed right here, but no doubt he was. I would have been. If there were fightings without and fears within, and a lot of us don't even like to admit that we have fears on the inside. One of the greatest apostles that there ever was, he said, without were fightings and within were fears. Now, I know, again, he is in defense of the gospel right here, but when there's just times that come, uncertain times that come, we don't know what the outcome is going to be. But just God bringing Titus to the Apostle Paul brought him comfort and joy. And then not only bringing Titus, but the news that Titus brought, that the church at Corinth said that he was comforted when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. Paul said, look, he said, I am tickled to death of what he's brought. So Paul has went from a time of being cast down, if you'd let me say that, to being down, to now he is rejoicing. And God can make a way. Can I tell you this quickly, even when you don't know how to pray? If you look in Romans 6, it is, or Romans 8, verse 26, it is the Spirit that helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so the Holy Spirit helps us. And so that brings me to number 3 as I close. We trust in His Word, because that's what He's given us to have, His Word. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. We can believe the Word of God. And then we trust the fact that He's still on the throne and looking and listening to us. And then number 3, we trust there will be deliverance. God is going to come through. You go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul talks about that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and who doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. So we just simply trust God that He's going to deliver. We come back to the text verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 6, and he said, nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down. And then we come down to what I just said a few minutes ago, that the Apostle Paul said that I do what? He said they had your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced. Paul got delivered. Paul was, his heart and his mind was changed from being cast down and to one of rejoicing. May take a little while. May take time for the Lord to come by and show up. You know, sometimes the Lord wants us to wait so that we'll just learn to trust Him even more. The Bible tells us that weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. It's Proverbs chapter 30. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. He knows how to deliver us, and He will yet deliver us. We trust in the fact of what He said. We trust in the fact that He still sees and He still hears. And we trust in the fact that He will save. He will deliver. What do we do in uncertain times? We simply trust the Lord. I pray the message has been a blessing to you.